Reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. How many words do you think that was in the original Greek? Any guesses? We'll do the Price is Right higher and lower thing, all right? So who wants to have an opening bid for the number of words? 34? Higher. There's a Greek scholar over there. There was words they just didn't write that they saved on space. They were being environmentally friendly. All right, so it's higher than 34. Lower than 62.
45.
Higher.
53.
Higher. Lower.
59.
Lower.
54.
Higher.
55.
Higher.
56.
Higher. Ding, 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 ding. You've won the showcase. Well, I don't know what's actually in the showcase, but...
A bunch of roses.
All right, okay. Yeah. I've still got, you know, for Father's Day, I got given 5 kilos of Morrow bars. We're still going with them, all right? We've been consuming them, you know, heroically. So if you feel like you've been ripped off from the showcase, just come around to our place and I'll give you a kilo of Morrow bars or something like that. All right, 57 words. I was in a bookshop a couple of years ago, and there was a Christian bookshop, and the title of the book was 57 Words That Change the World. And many of us may have grown up in churches where we recited the Lord's Prayer by rote. I did that, and I've done it thousands of times, right? And maybe you weren't in the church where they did that, but doing that for me, and because they didn't ever sort of dig into it and explain it for me, it just became a rote sort of thing. But you'll know that those of you who have been hanging around this church for long enough know that I quite frequently come back to the Lord's Prayer and talk about it from different angles, because although it's only 57 words, there's actually depth to it that will take more than your lifetime and my lifetime to recognise. And so the reflections that I'm having about the Lord's Prayer today aren't that the other ones that I've shared about before were wrong. These are just additional, all right? It's because these 57... I mean, Jesus was amazing. He was brilliant. He was off the chart smart, right? Just 57 words contains within it so much. And even in our short time together this morning, we're going to only scratch the surface of it. So, Ed, if you can put it up on the screen, that's great. And maybe if you're a young person, you can have a competition at home to see who can say out loud the Lord's Prayer the fastest. All right? Just see, you know, and maybe you could even use your computer to record on Audacity and speed it up, or whatever else, you know. Anyway, just see how fast you can do it, because when it's wrote, we've got to get through to the end. We've got to get through the end of it, right? But there's three different aspects how I want you to look at the Lord's Prayer for us today. And the first one is to go much slower and to think of the Lord's Prayer as a conversation, not as a prayer that you've got to get through to get to the end. But think of it as a conversation between you and God. And so we're going to go through each of the lines, and we're going to think about how might God's side of the conversation go based on what we know from the Bible. And I'm going to suggest some things, and if you've got some suggestions, please feel free to yell them out at the appropriate time, because it's not there's one right answer to this, right? But you see, I'm sure that this sort of prayer was actually part of Jesus' prayer life, right? Because he had the best prayer life of all. And then when his disciples saw him praying, they said, teach us to do it. Jesus is not the sort of person that would have said, well, this is the way I pray, but there's a different way for you to pray, you know. Because he got them to copy himself, him and everything else, so he would have got them to copy him in this way too. And so when Jesus would say to our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, what do you think Jesus might have heard the Father say back to him? We know, because on at least two occasions it's recorded, you're my son whom I love. And so when you're praying the Lord's Prayer, there will be something like this: you're my daughter whom I love. You're my child whom I love. And maybe in the quietness of your prayer time, it might be something more specific. God might say, I really love how you encourage people. But let the Lord's Prayer be a conversation. God will tell you something about his relationship with you and who he is to you, because you've done exactly the same thing to him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Well, Jesus, when he went into Galilee and began proclaiming the good news, what was the good news he said? He said, the kingdom of God is available. And so when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we can hear God say back to us, yes, it's available. Yes, it's available to you right here, right now. And we pray, give us today our daily bread. And because we've been aligned with God's kingdom in the previous line, we know from Jesus' promise where it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. You can be confident, God says, I'll give you everything you need for today. What do you think God might say to the lineman when we say, forgive us our debts? What do you think God might say? Yeah. We need to pause and let ourselves hear that. Hear God say to you, Angus, you're forgiven. Kaz, you're forgiven. You know, let that be personal, right? Because you are personally disconnected from God by your sins, so let God personally reconnect you to God. And here, it's not just an amorphous general thing, right? No, a vague principle of forgiveness. No, God says to you, I forgive you. So in the conversation of the Lord's Prayer, pause and let him speak that to your heart. As we also forgive our debtors. What do you reckon God might say to you when you say, Lord, as we're forgiving other people? Yeah, I've forgiven them too. Or maybe the amount of forgiveness I'm giving you is more than enough that you need, so you can pass on some of it. Lead us not into temptation. How do you reckon God might respond to that? God would just be so full of joy that you want God to lead you. And you say, here's the way, walk in it. Lead me, God. And then just expect him to say, okay, yeah, do this, do that. Walk this way, walk that way. Think this thing, think that thing. God wants you to follow. And if you're saying, lead me, God will surely answer. But deliver us from the evil one. What do you think he might say in response? It would be my pleasure. Good. He's already defeated. So use the Lord's Prayer and make space for it as a conversation. Because Jesus' prayer life with his Father was a two-way conversation. And so let the Lord's Prayer be a framework for you to have a two-way conversation with God. Now, I had the whiteboard up here last week and I didn't use it. So some of you are probably thinking, is this just like a useful prop now that David just brings out? Is it like a security blanket, you know, that he just, you know, oh, he feels better when he's next to it. Just last week I just didn't get around to using it, so that was no other thing than that. I want to revisit something we've talked about a bit before and I've blogged about it a bit as well, is that in our lives, God should be at the centre of it. And we know from Genesis 1 that when God created humans, he gave us three things. He blessed us, so he gave us blessing. He provided for us, there was abundance. And he also gave us a purpose. Now, watch over this world. You know, manage this world, right, basically. So, three things that God gives us in our lives: blessing, abundance, and purpose. And when we think about our lives and the way we operate, then there are three bits of our lives that are supposed to be connected to these things, right? So all of us in some form or another need approval, right? And the point was that God intended that our need for approval would be met through God's blessing of us. We all have appetites, right? Some of us have less of an appetite for Morrow bars than we used to. But the intention always was that our appetites would be connected to God's abundance. That's the intention of how it was supposed to all work, right? And we also have ambitions. And the intention was that our need to have healthy and life-giving ambitions was that they'd be connected to God's purposes, right? But what happened in Genesis 3 and what happens in our lives is that instead of looking inwards this way, we look outwards. And we disconnect ourselves, or we get disconnected from, by other people, God's blessing, God's abundance and God's purposes. And when we are free from that, then we go around and we try and fill these things, because our need for approval, appetite and ambition doesn't go away. But instead of being connected to God, they're now just like loose ends and they flail around looking for stuff. And they latch on to becoming famous on Instagram or unhealthy ways of dealing with our appetites for food or intimacy or whatever else. Or maybe we pursue ambitions that are ultimately destructive to us and maybe other people as well. Those things don't go away, but when we're disconnected from God, we look around for them and we try and attach them to other things, right? And with that, when we're disconnected from God's abundance, we are then susceptible to fear. Will my appetites be met? Will my need for safety, security, sleep, food, whatever else it is, will it be met? I'm afraid that it won't be met. And then there's the more other fears that are in our lives, right? The relational fears, all those sorts, acceptance fears, all those sorts of things. There's lots of fear is a big and large category, but what can happen is that our need for stuff is disconnected in some way, and so we fear. Or we're pursuing stuff and then we think we're pursuing the wrong things or we haven't done the right tasks or whatever else, and we can then have guilt. Right? Or we, the whole issue of approval, when we think we're rejected or we're not good enough, or whatever else, and we can experience deep shame. That's what shame is, isn't it, right? Guilt is what I did wasn't good. Shame is who I am isn't good. Right? And these are really powerful effects in our lives. No wonder people control other people by fear, shame and guilt, right? Because they are deep to who they have deep effects on who we are. And we might remember that Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, was attempted in the areas of abundance, approval and purpose, right? Abundance of approval and appetite, ambition, sorry. You know? He's hungry after fasting for 40 days. Well, you need food. He's tempted to turn the stones into bread. But he says, no, I'm not going to fulfill that appetite disconnected from my Father, because I know that I don't live just by bread, but by every word that comes from God. Because in fact, the bread was created by God's word, if you trace it back far enough, right? And improve, you know, throw yourself off the temple so everybody can see the angels rescuing you. You know, you came to my rescue in all public. You must be approving of me, Father. No, I don't need to do that. God's my heavenly Father. I don't need to do that. And then Satan comes and says, well, you don't have to go through the cross and all of that ugly stuff. Just bow down to me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, right? And so Jesus has experienced the same temptations as you and me, the same potential for breaks from God's connections as you and me. And God wants to restore us. God wants to reconnect us. God wants to get rid of the barriers that separate our need for approval from God's blessing and our need for our appetites to be fulfilled from God's abundance, and our need to have purpose and ambitions in life being connected to God's purpose. That's the deep work that needs to go on in our lives. And the 57 words is a powerful thing that can help us with that. When we feel disconnected from God's blessing or God's approval, we pray the first line, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're my Father. And we hear God say, You're my child. Doesn't matter what anybody else says, you're my child. Now, there can be many complex things to shame, and there can be many complex things to our need for approval. And I'm not trying to deny that there's complexities that need to be worked through sometimes in pastoral and clinical settings, right? But a place for us to start is that we are God's children. And the first line of the Lord's Prayer reminds us of that. The second line, as you can probably guess now, connects us back to God with his purposes. Your kingdom come and your will be done. You know, you might think that I've been excluded from God's purposes because of things I've done wrong or my own inadequacies or whatever else. And God says, no, the kingdom of God is available, and we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And God says, yes, here it is. But we can be reminded by this line that our need for achievement can be connected back to God. And nobody else can prevent that. Now, people can prevent us from getting a job or going to a certain school or being an elite sports person or whatever else, but no one can prevent us from being connected to God and his purposes in his kingdom. Give us today our daily bread. Whatever I'm fearing will happen, whatever I'm fearing I'm going to miss out on, whatever I'm fearing might actually happen to me, God, give me what I need for today. Connect me to your provision. Connect me to your abundance. Because we need this restoring work of being reconnected to God in these three dimensions of our lives. And some of us, for life experience, are more damaged or disconnected in some areas than others, right? Some people, like on the outside, might appear like they're really connected to God in all these different ways. But when you if they let the, you know, drew back the curtain on their soul, maybe if they were honest, they would show you that they weren't really. And so we don't need to be saying, looking around and saying, well, everybody else seems to get it together, there must be something wrong with me. No, everybody is disconnected from God in these ways in some way, in some shape or form. Some of us have had worse life experiences than others, and some of us in our good life experiences have just wandered away and done our own thing and not really realised even that we've been disconnected from God. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's a prayer of restoration. God connecting us back to his creation purposes of blessing, abundance and purpose. Now, there's more to be prayed in those specific areas, but the Lord's Prayer reminds us of those three. But then sometimes more needs to happen, and the second half of the Lord's Prayer provides it, when we look at it through the lens of restoration. Right? Because maybe we've been disconnected from God because of the things that we have done wrong. Right? Maybe we've connected our ambitions or our appetites or our need for approval to other things, and we know that we've done them wrong, and we say, God, forgive me. And so we need to be, and God says, I forgive you. But maybe you're actually connected to fear, guilt and shame because of what other people have done to you. And I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying it's we've just got to say the words and somehow magic us away. But there is this process where we, under the God's gracious and caring work in our souls, God can bring us to the point where we say to those abusers, I forgive you, I release you, what you did to me is separated from me now. Sometimes when we're praying this prayer as a prayer of restoration, we realize that we've been led in different directions. And so we say, Lord, lead me. Now, I've been following the latest trend, or I've been following my friend's bad advice, or I've been doing X, Y, and Z, but Lord, lead me. I've got some bad habits that have grown up over time around fear, shame, and guilt, or my appetite, my approval, ambition. Lord, I need you to lead me into fresh habits, into fresh mindsets, into fresh ways of looking at things. You need to do a deep work in me, God, I know it. But then for some of us, the damage and the wounds can be so deep that it's like beyond us. It's almost like some evil presence is in our lives. And we need to say, God, deliver me from that evil. That evil that I was exposed to, that evil I was experienced, that's beyond my capacity to deal with, God. Deliver me from that. And again, that might then lead to a whole lot of more in-depth prayer ministry and stuff over time. But the 57 words reminds us of the things that we need to be reconnected back to God's blessing, abundance and purpose. To receive and give forgiveness, to recommit ourselves to God's leading and to be open to his deliverance. When Jesus casts out evil spirits with a word. So the Lord's Prayer can be seen as a prayer of conversation. It can be seen as a prayer of restoration. And finally, and briefly, it can also be seen as a prayer of empowerment. In Luke's Gospel, in the account of Jesus going into the wilderness, it says he went into the wilderness filled with the Spirit. And we know in the Spirit that in the wilderness he wrestled with these temptations, these areas of our identity. Does he trust God, his Father, with his appetites, approval and ambition? And he wins that battle in the desert. He says, no, I'm going to have my appetites fulfilled in God's way, in God's time, and with God's resources, not my own. No, I'm following God's kingdom, not my own. No, I'm his son. I don't need to have him do miraculous fancy things to prove to me that he loves me and I'm his son. No, I know that. And with his security in those three things affirmed, he comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And this is not my thing, this is from Mike Green. He goes into the wilderness filled with the Spirit. He wins the identity battle that's summarized in the first three parts of the Lord's Prayer. God's his Father, it's about God's kingdom, and it's about God's provision. And he comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. So each morning, you might like to pray the Lord's Prayer as a prayer of empowerment for the day. Thank you, God, that I'm your child and you're my Father. And whatever else happens today, nothing can shake that truth. And I don't need anything fancy to happen. I don't need any miraculous thing to happen just to assure me of that. I'm solid and certain in that. And God, it's not about what I get to done this or what I achieve, my ambitions for this day, but it's about your purposes and your ambitions for this day, God. I care about that. I'm free from all the weight of having to try and fulfill my own. And I'm going to trust you for the provisions in every moment. Not only in my own strength, not in my own resources, but give me today your bread for today. And when we win on a daily basis the identity battle, we can go into our days not just filled with the Spirit, but in the power of the Spirit. And we can remember all of these things in 57 Greek words, however many there are in English. I haven't even counted them. One of you probably has. And so I hope that this prayer that has changed and will continue to change the world will continue to change your life. Let's pray this prayer out loud together as the team comes to lead us in our last song. And we won't stick the last line on. We're just going to read what's on the screen. We'll just stick an amen on the end. Is that okay? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.